Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I don't know where to start. I don't want to do the regular football stuff because there's just too much going on for our Washington listeners where I'd like you to
Why don't you catch Joe up on your personal life? Mike has a new baby boy.
That's true.
He's got a new wife.
Well, seven. He's a seven-year-old now.
He's got a lot going on. Like,
yeah,
it's like they used to say on TV, though. He's new to Joe. So, you know, if you haven't seen him, he's new to you.
You guys are asses.
It's a new look, Mike. I like that.
Yeah. What is your current handicap, Joe Theismann?
My index is 2.8.
All right.
What's yours?
I don't remember. I don't remember, Joe. I am a 7.1 right now.
That's 7.1.
Yeah, that's great.
Isn't that adorable?
Look at the look. That's the same look that would say, that's great. Why don't you give me your $80 right now back at Robert Trent Jones Golf Club? Why don't you just hand me the stack of cash? There we go.
Mike, it's real simple. Just let me hold the 80 before we start, just in case you have to run off. There we go.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. There are guests, and then there are guests. And yes. I'm going to tell you something. Nothing has changed the way I feel about having this gentleman on the show. I have known Joe Theismann for, I think, about 130 years. And it is always exciting. I always get pumped up when Rob told me that we had booked Joe for the show. I felt like a young guy. I was so excited about this because let me tell you something. If you're a 25-year-old fan of the Washington football team, let me describe, there was a period of time where championships were won. I know it might seem like it's something. They actually won championships.
What science fiction is this that you speak of?
There was a time in Washington, D.C. where the stars of the Washington football team, as they call it now, they owned the town. And we'll talk to Joe about that. It was a special, special time, and it coincided with the start of my career in radio. And it was just like you wouldn't believe it. If you were a Redskin, and I'm not talking just about the star quarterback Joe Theismann, the star running back John Riggins. I'm talking about you could get a backup offensive tackle who could open up a chain of fish markets or something like that. It was spectacular. And Jack Kent Cook owned the team, and it was just a different time. And Washington, D.C. had a lot of other sports, but it was a Redskins town. That's what it was.
True.
That's all it was. And it was that decades. We're talking about decades, not just because of the winning, because the winning and the player involvement and players like this man who I am joined by. It's great to have a legend on the show. Joe Theismann, it has been too long. And which one of your 11 houses are you speaking to us from today? I don't know. They didn't tell me where you're from today.
Don't talk to me about 11 houses, Mike. I know you came back from Maine to go to Florida to play golf. So,
wow, a little insight. Yeah. Wow.
You and I both know how much we love golf. So we basically follow the little golf ball all over the place if we can in this particular environment. But it's so great to catch up with you after all these years. It has been a long time. And of course, the reason why we were so good back in the 80s was because you came to town. You always have to have that one element added. And you came to town and all of a sudden we got good. Now, I don't necessarily find that coincidental. I think that's just fate. And it worked out well for us.
It did.
So I want to thank you very much for coming to town and being our little lucky charm so to speak.
Even though you won the Super Bowl before I got there, but that's okay. You're very kind.
But you were thinking about coming to Washington.
Yes. I was thinking about coming. I was in Washington working in another radio operation there. Let me tell you, greatest line. I tell this story. This is my Joe Theismann story that I have told since you said it to me, and it's one of my favorite Joe Theismann stories, where you are playing golf where I'm playing golf, and you're with a group of people, and we bump into each other, and I just, it's a casual thing, very, very brief, and I say, "Hey, Joe, how you doing?" He said, "Mike, if I could die and come back as me, I would." I'll never forget that. That is the greatest response to, "I'm having a good day. I'm happy. I'm on the golf course. Everything's great." And you were always, you know, this is outside of the football and the media and everything. When I would bump into you, it would always be some exchange like that. And I really, really enjoyed, you know, the times I would bump into you on the golf course. And you looked fantastic as usual. And it is great to see you. Enough of the ass kissing, for the love of God.
Yeah, give it up.
Oh, don't stop, Mike. Mike, don't stop. Go ahead.
It is, these are strange times, Joe Theismann. How are you holding up in the COVID era?
You're right. I mean, as far as strange times, who would ever think we'd go through something like this in our lifetime? I mean, you read about different things that have happened around the world, like we're going through right now, but never would you think we would experience what we have. I think when everything started back in, I guess, late March, everybody sort of looked around, or middle March, everybody sort of looked around and said, "Well, this is going to pass quickly. We're going to get through this." And then 1 month led to 3 months, and 3 months have now led to 6 months. And, you know, everybody has adjusted well, depending upon where you live in the country, depends on the freedom you have to be able to basically live the life you want to. But it's, you know what it is everybody talks about, this is going to be a change in our lives. I don't look at it as change. I look at it now as an opportunity. This pandemic has just presented opportunities for everybody, from a business standpoint to their personal lives, to take a long, hard look at who you are, what you want to do, what your relationships are, and where you're going in life. Interestingly enough, Mike, in football, we have the bye week. And during that bye week, the teams don't study opponents, they study themselves. And if you look at your life at this 6 month period that we're through, it's like a giant bye week. You've had to take a step back and not get that remote going, that rote, I get up in the morning, I do this, I do that. We all fall into patterns and routines. That routine has been totally disrupted now. And we've had to sort of adjust. I mean, I read something really funny in the beginning of the pandemic, and it was a little cartoon, and this guy is sitting on a couch next to a woman. And he said, "I glanced over and looked at this woman. And I looked at her and I wondered who she was. And she introduced herself as my wife." And it was,
how are you doing with that, Joe? Like, just out of curiosity, are you doing all right with that?
We get going in so many different directions that we forgot the family connections that we had.
And yeah,
Right. Whether it's your partner, your husband, your wife, whoever it might be, it's been a great opportunity, I think, to be able to really connect and then also look at your own personal lives.
Well, you know, it is. And, you know, for us, just little changes the way it affects us. Joe and I would probably 99% of the time professionally on this show, I would talk to you on the telephone. And it's great now that everybody is used to doing the Zoom calls and being able to see our guests. It really makes a difference when I'm getting a chance to talk to somebody. And I have so many. I don't know where to start. I don't want to do the regular football stuff because there's just too much going on for our Washington listeners. Where I'd like you to
Why don't you catch Joe up on your personal life? Mike has a new baby boy.
That's true.
He's got a new wife.
Well, seven. He's a 7 year old.
He's got a lot going on. Like,
yeah,
it's like they used to say on TV though. He's new to Joe. So, you know, if you haven't seen him, he's new to you.
You guys are asses.
It's a new look, Mike. I like that.
Yeah. Oscar, I have to ask you, do you know, I mean, you came in, you're younger. Do you know, I mean, you know the history, right?
I apologize to Mr. Theismann before
the show. It was such
a
great entrance. It was so great.
I said, I told Shannon, my wife, who I fell back in love with during the pandemic, so I understand what you're coming
from. That's nice of you to say, wow. That's fantastic.
She said, what's going on? And I said, we've got Joe Theismann on the show today. She goes, why are you acting this way? I said, it's Joe Theismann.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give you mine. I'm going to give you mine for Joe, too. I got it from my wife. I got this, okay? I'm in the kitchen before the show. And she said, "You're pumped up this morning." I said, "I'm psyched. I got Joe Theismann coming on the show. I've never felt any other way. When Joe comes on the show, I get excited. I get excited. This is one of my favorite people to talk to. And this is a quote. And I'm sorry to tell you this, Joe, but so is he the one that wanted to kiss that sideline reporter?" I said, "That's Joe Namath, Carla.
No.
For the love of God, please.
Here's where my wife has the edge. I told her about Joe Theismann, and she goes to our television, and under our television, we keep this picture.
There it is.
She says, show it to Joe, and that's at one of Mike's weddings.
I can't believe it.
And she wants to apologize, Joe, because apparently she stepped on your foot when you were dancing with her. So she never got a chance to apologize, and so I hope it's okay. No hard feelings.
All right, I'm going to ask you, Joe.
My story goes along with you guys as well. I mean, your wives are talking about, you know, you getting excited. I got excited, and my wife said, well, what are you going to do today? I said, I'm doing an unbelievable interview today. I'm going to be on with Mike O'Mara. Oh, my gosh. Really? I said, absolutely. She said, who is he?
There it is. Zim, zim, zim. Okay. I don't know, obviously, go ahead.
We Googled you, and boy, you have really had an interesting life.
Yeah, Joe, just like yours. Just absolutely the same.
It's so much fun. And, you know, Oscar being young, and I look back, I mean, I left the game of football 36, 37 years ago.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it that long ago.
I look at it and I can't believe it. And because of the internet and because of different things that, you know, have been preserved in time, like the Blind Side, people still ask me, how's your leg? That was 36 years ago, 37 now, I guess.
Everybody remembers it like it was yesterday.
I appreciate it so much when people say, hey, you know, how you doing? I'm thank goodness I can do the things I can do. And then, of course, Alex Smith having his injury.
Same thing.
At the same place on the field. 33 years later in a Monday night game. Final score of the game exactly the same, 23-21. We won ours. They lost that one. I mean, there's so many similarities. And as far up to the injury, but then all of a sudden after that, you know, the things that Alex went through were so much different than what I went through. And it's great to see that he's on the active roster of the Washington football team. It's great to see him being able to do the things he loves. And I think that's really what it boils down to for all of us, because people keep asking me, why is Alex doing this? Why is he out there? I said, people don't understand who we are. It's our makeup. It's the competition. It's the want to get out on the field. He's not.
Let me ask you this: since you brought up the injury, and for me personally, knowing you and growing up in, I'm from Connecticut. I'm from the Northeast. My father raised me as a New York Giants fan. So I mean, a Redskins Giants fan was a Super Bowl at any time they play together. To see a guy I knew go through this and playing the Giants at the time. Every article I ever read about that, especially looking back, was that the bone did not grow properly, and that the one leg became a little shorter than the other after you had that compound fracture. Is that true? Is that what did it for you as far as your ability to come back from that? That's what that made it so difficult. Is that the bone didn't grow properly, or how did that work?
Yeah, they didn't put a rod in my leg at that time. When the bones went back together, it's like a puzzle, and the puzzle fit quite well. The union was very good, as it was referred to. So they didn't rot it. So what they basically did was just cast it. And as the leg atrophied, I have what's called an 11 degree varus right above the ankle. And it's where I sort of walk on the outside of my right foot, and it healed almost a half inch shorter. So the only real issues that I've ever had with my leg was my knee, my back, and my hip were affected because of the lack of symmetry in my body. But there are a lot of people out there that have one leg shorter than the other. So it wasn't unusual to be able to create and make orthotics that work for my golf shoes, for my tennis shoes, for regular dress shoes are difficult because you can't get a lift in there. But it's, listen, I'm so blessed. I can do everything.
Still playing a lot of golf?
Carry on a quality of life. But yeah, it healed a little bit shorter, but it's, there's so many people that I've known that have gone through the injury. Like, for example, look at the painstaking efforts that Alex made just to keep his leg. I mean, yeah. He had 17 mm-hmm. different surgeries. It came within 24 hours of taking his leg. I consider myself so lucky. And anytime anybody breaks a leg, or has an injury that is somewhat perceived as similar to mine, I'm more than happy to reach out to them and see if I can provide any kind of comfort for them going forward to know that it's going to be okay. It's just probably going to take some time.
It was really something to behold. I want to get to the state of the Washington football team after many, 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 many years, the name change in the offing here for the team. Let's start with that. That wasn't really a thing. At least I don't remember it being a thing when I was covering the Redskins back in the day. The state of that franchise now, recent controversy about Snyder. Let me frame the question to you this way. If you were, what do you think Jack Kent Cook, what's the advice Jack Kent Cook would give Dan Snyder on this football team right now? It's the only way I could ask you all the jive questions that comes to mind, because this owner has turned off a lot of people in the city of Washington. What do you think? What would you tell him? And what do you think Jack Kent Cook would tell him?
Mike, obviously I would be the last person in the world, having played for Mr. Cook, having had conversations with him, having negotiated my last contract with Mr. Cook, the last thing I would do would be try and figure out what Mr. Cook would say to anybody. He used such big words. I used to have a meeting with him. I used to have to go home and look in a dictionary to see some of the words he used on me and figure out whether he was complimenting me or questioning me. I wasn't real sure at the time.
Oh, man, he was like one of the great owners. Amazing.
It was, Mr. Cook was wonderful to me. You know, Dan is trying to do, I think, to get things right. I mean, the name, as an example, there's been questions about the names for long before Dan ever took over the football team. Mm-hmm. And in where we are in society today and the things that are going on, it's just has come to a point where they made a decision to change the name. And I think they made the right decision in taking the time. The Washington football team, I don't believe next year will be called the Washington football team. But they're taking 12 months, 18 months, whatever period of time it takes to really come up with a name that they feel fits the situation that they want and also accommodates an awful lot of people. So, obviously not everybody's going to like everything. That's just the way life is. But I think they're trying to move forward in the right direction and fix some of the things that need to be fixed.
You when you hear about controversies with a football, it's a little different now. It kind of goes back to the day where you guys in the 80s, it was something where stuff would happen and it wouldn't be splashed all over every website known to mankind, where not that there was a lot of stuff going on. But I would look at that. I mean, as far as I'm concerned now, everybody's got to be a little more aware of the present situation, and Washington right now kind of going through that. They seem to be handling it fairly well. What do you think? What's the state with the new coach coming in? What do you think the state of the team is right now? Are you optimistic that they're going to right the ship?
I am optimistic. I think Ron Rivera is a terrific man, and he's fighting his own battle with lymphoma.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Just, horrible.
Just today, he came back to practice after treatment. And when Ron came in, I felt great about him. I've known him a long time, played against him. So you understand what guys are like, and you've seen what he's done with his career as far as a coach goes and how much he's respected. I think the staff he put together has a great combination of youth and experience. We're one of the youngest teams in football. I believe with Adrian Peterson being released last week, That took a 36-year-old off the roster and kept the 23-year-old running back. So right now we're probably the third youngest football team in the National Football League. So it's a youth movement. Our quarterbacks played 7 games. Dwayne's he's new to the business, so to speak. We have a lot of young guys on this football team. We've got 5 of the defensive linemen are either first round picks or former first round picks. So it's a football team that has talent. Now it's a question of how well they play together. They open with Philadelphia this weekend, and it'll be interesting to see exactly what's going to happen on the football field. And thank goodness football is here for everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a very difficult offseason for the Washington football team and for other football teams. Just trying to figure out, how do I practice? I mean, you can only learn so much from a Zoom meeting. And Mike, you made a great point, is where we are today in society. When something is said or something happens, it instantaneously goes out all over the world. It wasn't back in the 80s when we played. If something happened in LA, you might not hear about it for 3 or 4 days, 5 days, or vice versa, going east coast to west coast or north to south. Nowadays, everything is out there right away. And I think you have to really watch what you say. You have to be smart about what you say. And you just have to look at a society that is different. And it's just things that we have to get used to. People would say to me, well, what about the name change? It is what, you know, it is what it is. It's moving forward. And I look at it this way. It's, again, I'll use that word that I love so much, opportunity. It's an opportunity for this young football team to create their own legacy. You know, we were a part of the history of the Washington football team for 87 years called the Redskins. Now it's a chance for this young group of guys to go forward and create a whole new state of memories for the fans, to create opportunities for themselves. I mean, this is a football team that over the last 3 years has had more people on IR than anybody else. I think the first thing that this football team has to do is try and figure out a way to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And then offensively, they just haven't been able to score points. So if you can stay healthy and score points, I think you're going to be a better football team. And that's what I expect from this ball club.
All right. Before we wrap it up, I want to talk about you. I remember in the 80s, and Rob, I specifically remember your friend Matt Elliott beating his brains out trying to get a job in the broadcast booth. You not only had the great career, but you had the great career in the broadcast booth as well, Joe. And I think you were doing – I don't want to say you're one of the pioneers. You go back to guys like Pat Summerall and Frank Gifford for that. But you were there at the beginning, and then it became the thing. I mean, after you and guys like you, there were a few players, but then everybody was trying to do it. Do you miss being in the regular national spotlight? That's a grind, too, from people I talk to do that. Do you miss that at all?
Well, yeah, you know, it isn't you miss the national spotlight. I still do. I mean, I've got an Easy Medicare commercial that's running. I do work for a company called Medliminal, which basically reviews medical bills, which absolutely, I promise you, there isn't anybody out there that looks at a medical bill and understands what they're being charged.
They have no, that was your ding for the promo there.
I mean, it's impossible to dissect. And that's just the complexity of it.
Truth.
But I still do motivational speeches. I still get out and around. But the thing that you miss is miss the action. That you miss that Sunday afternoon, whether it was a player or whether it was in the booth. You just miss the adrenaline rush, walking into the stadium, getting ready to do a game. What's the game going to look like as a player? What's the game going to look like as an announcer? My first broadcast experience, big time broadcast experience, was Super Bowl 19.
Yeah.
See, I played in 17, played in 18, and I replaced O.J. Simpson in the booth with Don Meredith and Frank Gifford in Super Bowl 19. That was my introduction to broadcasting.
Weren't you the first active player to do the booth?
Second. Jack Kemp. Jack Kemp was the first.
Oh, okay.
Jack Kemp and I are the only two active players, I believe, to do a championship game.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I mean, it was an incredible experience to be able to do that. And that's when I really developed a love for broadcasting. I mean, I did Mike Patrick, my partner, and I did ACC. I did ACC basketball.
I love that team. I love the team of you. I think that was the best work you did in broadcasting.
Paul was just fun.
Yeah. It was
we had a wonderful run together, Paul, Mike, and I. And of course, I work for 3 great guys, Jay Rothman, who and Freddie Gadelli, who's now at NBC. And John Wildhack was my first producer, and John's the athletic director at Syracuse now.
Wow.
And they taught me an awful lot about the business. And it's funny, in radio, you talk. And in broadcasting, you try and talk in sound bites, because mm-hmm. you do have right. somebody that has to set the stage, the play-by-play guys. You do have the instant replay. You got to figure out how to get to commercials. So there was a learning process, but I do miss it a little bit. And as a matter of fact, I talked to my wife and I said, if I was given an opportunity to go back to the booth, would you be okay with, you know, me doing that? And she said, hey, it's something you'd love. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. But the opportunity hasn't showed up, and I'm wow. fine where I am.
Okay.
I'm
still all right. That's it. Handicap low. What is your okay? Now, all right. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Didn't knew it. I knew it.
Who had 23 minutes, Mike?
Never beat him. Never beat him. Never beat him. Never beat him. All right. Currently, because I'm proud of where I am right now, and I'm going to ask you first. What is your current handicap, Joe Theismann?
My index is 2.8.
All right.
What's yours?
I don't remember. I don't remember, Joe. I am a 7.1 right now. I am a 7.1. Yeah, that's great.
Isn't that adorable?
Look at the look. That's the same look that would say, that's great. Why don't you give me your $80 right now back at Robert Trent Jones Golf Club? Why don't you just hand me the stack of cash? There we go.
Mike, it's real simple. Just let me hold the 80 before we start, just in case you have to run off.
There we go. I am so glad to talk to you. I'm so glad that you're doing well with everything. Rob, you've got a plug. Oh, there it is right there.
This is his new book. This is your fifth book, Joe?
Somewhere around there, yeah, I think
so. And you can get this at JoeTheismann.com. It's How to Be a Champion Every Day, 6 Timeless Keys to Success. It was released in June, and you got to check it out.
Get it on Amazon.
Yeah, you can click right through from your website, and also remember that you can find out about the medical bills at medliminal.com. Check that out.
What a treat. I love you, man. I really do. And I hope that at some point we can get together and play around. I know you got a place down here in Florida as well. I will drive to you, Joe, if for a golf game.
That's a threat.
I will drive. I know you're in the panhandle. Is that where you – do you have a place up there? Is that where you are now? Yep. Where are you?
I have a place in Destin. I'm in Memphis right now, our home in Memphis, but I do have a place in the Panhandle, and I would love for you and I to be able to get out. Not only that, I'd love to join you on the show again, but
absolutely.
I would love for you
anytime.
to be able to spend some time on a golf course with you. And one thing we always do together, Michael, and you know that, is we laugh. We have a good time. And I think that's what you have to do in life. Every morning you got to wake up and smile. It's like Jimmy Valvano said in his speech, you've got to think, you've got to laugh, and you've got to let your emotions rise to either tears or laughter. And so it's the life we've chosen. It's the fun experiences that we have, but it's the relationships that we have with friends that are so important. And I enjoy being a great friend of yours.
Oh, man. I look forward. I think that broadcast booth might be on the offing. I got that hint there. Just don't worry. I think we'll see more of you in the broadcast booth. Joe, thank you. Good luck to you. Godspeed. And we will have you on again soon. It's always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Start the show, Rob. Speedwack, go ahead.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Everybody out there, stay safe. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at
www.mikeomaroshow.com. Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Oh, shit. I hope I don't look as bad as you look, man.
You make me look like Cinderella. If I had a dog like you, I'd shave his butt and make him walk backwards.
Hey, Doc Elliott's gonna take care of us. It's time to break into the old medicine cabinet, Seth, boy. How's your elbow?
God
damn it. You know, Ed is gonna get your ass for this, boy.
Yeah, but they ain't gonna do nothing to you.
Hell, I ain't the one that's done it.
Yeah, but you're gonna take something that makes you accomplish. They turn me in, they gotta turn you in, and they won't do that.
That's cause I'm a star.
Genuine sports personality. A legendary folk hero.
Folk hero? Have some Dexedrine.
Don't mind if I do.
A little Combazine.
All right.
Would you like codeine?
Does the shark me see? Come on,
get
some
of this.
One for me. Oops. Breakfast for champions there.
Nectar of the gods.
Yes.
Feels pretty swollen. Just work that knee.
God
damn it, Eddie, it's not the knee. Hey, it's my shoulder. I hit my shoulder when I hit the gym floor.
It feels like it's full of gravel.
Well, it's always felt like it was full of gravel. Now, come on, give me a B12 shot. That's what I want. Always messing with the knee.
Yeah, how you doing, baby?
All right, Dell, you gonna get a shot?
Oh, no shots for me, Turkey. I can't stand needles.
Hey, you gotta master the technology of this game.
Phil, how do you do that, man? Take all those pills and shots, man. It does terrible things to your body.
God. You last long enough, you'll realize the only way to survive is the pills and the shots.
Oh, not me, Turkey. I got respect for my body.
You'll get past that.
You're crazy.
Shot through the heart, and you're too late.
The Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends. Glad to have you with us. From Boone, North Carolina, Bellefont. I finally pronounced it correctly. Thank you. Rob put a pronouncer that's perfect in front of me.
Perfect.
I see it every day, and I mispronounce it every day. Jim Amato sent me a personal message to say it's Bellefont.
But that's Bellefont, part of the fun. I think it's part of the fun when you have fun with the names.
Yes, sure. We'll go with that. Let's see. Tonkawa, Oklahoma. Clovis, California. Krakow, Poland. East Flanders, Belgium. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And brought to you by our Fruitcake Futures. You're keeping up the pressure on the fruitcakes. We're going to have a busy kitchen coming up.
Yes.
Everything seems so depressing right now. Meh, blah, muh. The snakeheads are prowling the countryside.
Everywhere,
your,
Mike.
Your earwax is devilishly impacted.
Oh, no.
And the most exciting part of your dreary day is putting on a new mask that you just spritzed with Old Spice. You're welcome, ladies. And yet, wearying, tedious, unrewarding.
Oh.
Don't you crave a bit of normalcy?
Yes. Hmm?
Something that'll bring you back to how it used to be? Well, cue the music! TMOS Fruitcake Futures. We'll take back the good old days. Yeah, jump aboard the candied fruit flyer. You're going to run out of them pretty soon.
Almost have.
And let your taste buds transport you to happier times. One bite and these fruitcakes will remind you of a time when everything was right with the world. Yay, yay. TMOS Fruitcake Futures. Buy now, savor later. Talk about current events. That's a fruit joke. They taste even better. Go to our website. Buy as many as you like. MikeOMaraShow.com. Click the banner. Every purchase supports TMO. It's Gary Krimble. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Thank you. That was fun. That was
You know,
so
there
much
was something very telling in that interview, and it was subtle. I don't know if you picked up on it. When you were talking ownership, he talked about Mr. Cook.
And then he said
Dan. Just Dan. I don't know. Spoke to me.
Joe still plays it the way he should, and I think that he's a Redskin at heart. And I just I looked at him and went, wow. I mean, when you look at some of the NFL broadcasts, and you don't know the inner workings of who should be in the booth and what level he wants to be in the booth.
He's aged better than Sam Rosen somehow.
He's just, I mean, really, this weekend, and we had Joe on for the beginning of the NFL. We'll have Nikki Diamond, which is a far different interview, later. And we're going to have Nikki via Zoom.
Via Zoom.
I'm so excited because he got himself a computer over the summer.
Via Zoom. Or he might be borrowing one. We're not
Could be, or a rental. Maybe he's at a library.
Quite sure how it's going
library.
To work. But it should be interesting.
In Perump.
So with Joe, though, you listen to him and you go, okay, you want to be in the booth again, and you're not. I have a little trouble getting my head around that one. That's kind of confusing to me. I don't know. But then again, I've never been able to understand the business of broadcasting. Are we okay? Because we're really all.
No. You sound great, Mike. And there's just a little jitter on your video end, but.
And me too, from you guys.
Okay.
So,
perfect.
If we can
plow through this for just a moment. Let me add this before you hopped on to the broadcast. Joe was talking about his setup at home, and His setup in Virginia. By that, I mean his broadcast setup.
Yeah, he's in Memphis. He's in Memphis, Tennessee, right?
Yes. And when he comes up to Virginia, he would like a similar setup because his home in Memphis is, you know, that backdrop is iconic. He's got a trophy case. That's not everywhere.
I mean, it's who else can you talk to that when you're just, you know, making small talk before the show? He says, yeah, I just got back the, I had my Super Bowl ball painted. And he pointed to it, and it's the actual ball from the game that says, you know, Super Bowl 19. And it was just... It's just
see his Wheaties box in back of him?
Yeah.
You see his Wheaties box?
Of course.
I loved it. It was perfect. He had a set of sets. And so it's I guess it says to me that he does this more often than not. And to see him on ESPN's NFL Live once in a while, there's got to... And he talked about what we talk about all the time, like being hardwired in. That's why he had such a great picture and all the nuances that really... AV nerds just go crazy for. So I think you have a great radar for it. Like something's up. Like something's coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, being hardwired in is really a good thing to do. It's really like, can I do it like right now?
Yes, you can.
Of course.
All right, very good. Being hardwired in is a good thing to be. Isn't that the best thing to be at all?
Yes,
it is. Let's see if I get better after that. Rob's coming to me.
God willing, it screams crazy. Stability is what it does.
It's crazy. Now, my connection's been a little wacky down here.
Well, I've seen this across the board with the homeschooling, Mike, or not homeschooling, the virtual school. Across the board, even with our work from ESPN, God forbid you're doing a national television show and there are more than one or two or three children, let's say there's three total, virtual schooling on that same pipe that you're going to the world to, there might be some hiccups.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Oscar, because we might need to have a chat about that.
Okay.
I think we might be a two-line house pretty soon here. I think that's probably going to suffer because he's virtualing right now. But we've done well with it so far. But now that I'm hardwired, maybe that'll be a bit. Who knows?
If you turn your Wi-Fi off, Mike, I think even if you disconnect on video, you'll be okay on audio and you just reconnect. We'll know that we're hardwired and we're no longer on the Wi-Fi.
Okay. I just turned my Wi-Fi
off. Okay. So let's see if it stabilizes and give it a moment.
Hi, everybody. Yeah. How you doing? You're not stabilizing to me, so I'm probably not stabilizing to you.
When is our next break, and then we can take a quick stop down.
We'll
and
take
bring it
one
back
now.
Up.
We'll take an early one now, and then God forbid we're not bringing Nikki Diamond in next. Rob, remind me. I will get him. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll fix all our problems. And thank God we got the interview with Joe on. Was I breaking up when Joe was on the show?
No, solid as a rock.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We'll take a break. We'll be right back, everybody. Okay. Listen up. O'Reilly here, and you're there, and you want to get in touch with TMOS. You don't know how. You're out of touch, right? Lazy, uninformed, not good people. Well, who's looking out for you? I am. I'm here at The Factor, and we can hook you up. You can always email the show at rob@mikeomerashow.com. That's Rob, 2 B's, big head, not a good guy. Or P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Mail something like a letter or a parcel or a citizenship inquiry for Oscar. He's not from around here. We keep an eye on that one. And be sure to keep an eye out for my new book, Killing Mike O'Mara. Yeah, the plot involves $1 margaritas and a kid named Pony. He's very thin, nervous guy. The Mike O'Mara Show, always available and always looking out for you. This is Bill O'Reilly, and I hate everything.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. Can you believe the best just got better? Well, it did. Harry's just came out with their sharpest blades ever, and unlike some other razor companies, they're not charging you more. Harry's new sharper blades are still as low as $2 each, and new U.S. customers can redeem a trial offer of Harry's new sharper blades by going to harrys.com/TMOS. These new blades are so sharp that in a study with guys shaving 4 times a week, they reported that with their 8th shave, it was as smooth as their first. But how? I'll tell you how. Harry's owns a German factory that's been honing razor blades for 100 years. Here we go, via the Germansville, doing the honing the Harry's razor. Got the Harry's razor, make it extra, extra sharp.
That's what I would do if I. That's why they wouldn't use me as their advertising marketer guy, because I'd be like making against a bunch of guys in lederhosen making Harry's razors. No, I don't think it would.
I thought you would lead the workers in that song on the floor of the factory.
Just like the big beer steins. And, well, I'll read this next line. They source their steel from Sweden, and they own the entire manufacturing process from Andy to the factory floor. These are fine German blades. Blades are delivered directly to your door with or without a subscription with 100% quality guarantee. Our listeners can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/TMOS. You'll get a 5-blade razor featuring their new sharper blades, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blade when you're on the go. Just go to harrys.com/TMOS and redeem your trial offer today. Thank you. Thank you very much. No roid rage for me, even though I'm in the middle of my whatever pack is, my
How's
steroid pack, my little steroid pack that I'm taking today.
Do you feel, I would say, any relief from yesterday?
Yeah, but a little. Yeah, it's slow. It's slower. It moved into the right ear a little bit, and now it's calmed down in that. And, you know, it's a process. I think I had a nasty little ear infection that was beginning to take over my whole head. But the roid rage, just so you know, I'm really keeping it together today, but just below the surface with some of this technical
stuff. Good to know.
And also, remember with antibiotics, Mike, even if you feel 100% better, don't give up the flight. You have to take them all.
I'm not taking them all because they gave me one at the urgent care place last night. So I skipped the two this morning and I went right to the next one. So that's because I kind of thought two nights ago.
Yeah, follow the instructions or
when you get your prescription at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because your insurance company told you didn't pay your insurance bill, dicks. God almighty, I hate insurance companies.
You need medliminal.com. Anyway.
Yeah.
What?
Joe
you need
so.
Medliminal.com.
Mr. Theismann.
Medliminal?
Yeah.
Medliminal. Right. That's his company.
Yeah. Exactly.
Check your bills.
Yes. Let me say, regarding COVID, a couple of things. Rob's got a manufactured fear. I have, for those who seem to be intent on accusing the media of ignoring the possibility of super spreading at protests, first of all, I've watched media accounts where they do talk about that, and I watched the Sturgis event as well. And I understand these are projections and models that the Sturgis motorcycle rally could have been a super spreader event, but you had an active clientele at the Sturgis rally that was flaunting the lack of masks and lack of concern for spreading the virus.
Isn't Sturgis known for social diseases anyways?
Corona might be the least of their
worries. I thought it was herpes.
No, it is truly shoulder
Look
to shoulder.
Look under the gray beard.
Couple of things about Sturgis, because I've been. Couple of things. If you go to Sturgis thinking it's going to be a babe fest.
Nuts to butts.
You will see babes at the places where they're paid to be.
Oh.
Bartenders, hostesses.
Girls.
That's what atmosphere girls. You will not see the babes coming in on the back of the 58-year-old motorcyclists who are coming in with this beard. This is exactly the beard.
Yeah.
Some of them might have this.
Yeah, the soul
patch. I don't, but this one right here, you will see this color, and you will see this on 2 million fat men.
And a few
fat
women.
Men that have this, you know, and Carla didn't want to go to the rally. When I went to the rally, and it was a boys' trip anyway.
Yeah.
But what you won't see is hot women riding on the back of motorcycles, and they flaunted it. So this false look, we are in a land of false equivalency here.
Right.
So don't say that Sturgis is the same as protesters in the street. There's one reason you can say that, okay? Count the masks.
That's it.
Go to a protest for Black Lives Matter people. There's the organization.
Saw one this past weekend. Walk right by. Shannon and I just there. Mm-hmm. Again, this is what there's a juxtaposition here that I've never really seen. I've seen protests prior to the riots. I've seen them right outside the window here, walking down Wisconsin Avenue. I've seen them on M Street, going from what is the Black Lives Matter Plaza to Georgetown, and then back to M Street. Back to the Black Lives Matter Plaza just this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, like, for all the negative publicity that these protests garner from different media outlets, the idea that you have an organized protest that is that are police escorted throughout the city, and there are chants that involved, you know, your traditional Black Lives Matter, and then there are chants with the police. This is what makes this country great, that say defund the police, and you've got, you know, the DC PD really keeping them safe. And they're doing it in a professional manner from what I saw. And I sat there and I said this, and Shannon was like, well, like, it's a powerful scene to see walk right by you in mass. And they all had masks on.
That's the question I was going to ask you. Did they, I mean, every video I've seen, there are, because I'm not counting when I'm, before I read this article about false equivalency. But you would say the overwhelming majority of people are have face coverings.
I would say yes. That's the first thing that Shannon said. Look, everybody has masks on.
Right. Yeah. And they completely, the people that are trying to do, well, what about the protesters?
The one guy that wants to run away from a mass spreading event is me. And if they, and out of the blue, you get what looks to be a motorcade is coming your way. You don't know what's happening. They block you off on the road. We're on the sidewalk. And I was like, is the president coming through? And it's a full-fledged protest, 300 people deep, walking down Wisconsin Avenue and making a right on M Street or left on M Street. And it's right in front of you. And if anybody's trying to run away from a super spread event, it's me and my wife.
Sure. Right. So that's where I get what sticks in my craw is when they are comparing an event where the undercurrent, the under theme of the event was, I don't care. To hell with that. And you went into that. You've got a more likelihood of a super spreader. The projections, do we know that it's going to be a $12 billion healthcare cost? No, but they can estimate it, right?
It's a preventive manner for ourselves and everybody. And we had masks on.
Right.
And what was also, and I gave it up to the fourth, the DCPD, because really, they did no. You could see, you can tell people's attitudes just in their mannerisms and how professional someone. I thought it was a presidential escort or a VIP escort in D.C., which were anybody lives in
it
the DMV area.
It was given that import.
Yeah,
it
I
was
said,
huge.
Whoa. And then boom.
Right.
It was the protest. And I sat there and I said, you know, there is a place, and this is why this country is the way it is, and that's why we want to keep it this way, where you can peacefully protest.
Right.
Be given the space to do so. Be protected by the people that, you know, hypothetically.
You're protesting against.
Yeah, in a certain manner.
Yeah, to a certain degree.
And they do it in a professional way. And then you see the citizens, not everybody, but those that I would call allies, that are in their cars or on the side of the street, and they're throwing up the fist. White, black, Asian.
Right.
In support, right? Or honking their horns. Like, it's not always going to be that way. And look, we have a lot of I would say officer friendlies, as I like to call them, within our ranks that listen to the show, and we support. Yeah. We support them. We absolutely support them.
Oh, and I, by the way, the whole term "defund the police" is a term that I, when I hear that, I think it was created by a certain group of people to they latched onto that early on. When I think you're really, if you were going to be real specific about it, you say reallocate some resources to make the city safer.
It's so easy to be misunderstood that the people that oppose it grab onto it.
Pay people more or train them better or whatever it may be, right?
Yeah, right.
Train them better and then pay them more.
But a few words about the looting situation. Look, I am as passionate about Black Lives Matter, and I believe in that. I think it's long overdue. I think these peaceful protests are phenomenal. I think people that start fires, that throw bricks at police officers, that loot a building, throw them away. Put them in the jail. I'm fine with that. Anybody doing that kind of crap, you know, they're the outliers on every side that are doing that. Someone from, shooting a pro MAGA guy, somebody shooting a Black Lives Matter protester, throw away the key. I'm sorry. There's room for protest in this country
on
both sides.
Mike, I agree with you, but at the root of all of this, it's our overall leadership in this country.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think it is. And it's frustrating for me to see false equivalency. I know the type of people we're talking about. by and large, because I was part of it, at Sturgis, and it's frustrating. So it's just
and
rough.
I can't believe the opportunity that was missed at Sturgis. I think that Harley has missed a step. Why weren't they selling $95 black leather face masks? Because those idiots would buy them.
Thank you,
that
Rob.
Stick to your lips in the heat. How are we doing with connectivity, guys? We're having a bad day here. We're having a very bad day.
I think if we can muddle through, we're going to be okay. You sound great. Rob sounds
great.
Very
good.
Yeah. And that is the primary.
A little tough day for us today. Rob Spiewak was talking about the new manufactured fear.
I was already upset when I saw a sign at the pharmacy that said, "Beware the dual-demic." Which is when the flu season begins at the same time as the pandemic. They're calling it the dual-demic, which is great to make people scared. But this is a new one.
Oh, yeah, for the flu.
Yeah.
Right.
But this one is new. It says, beware of coronasomnia.
What?
People are having a hard time sleeping because they're worried.
Oh, well, I mean, that's anxiety overall, right?
But that's what I'm saying. This is not anything that you need to spotlight and, God forbid, give a name to. And when you give a name to something, it gives it some sort of credence. I don't need them manufacturing more problems for me. Okay.
All right.
I get anxious. I talk in my sleep sometimes. But that's not. You're not helping. You're not helping when you have.
Yeah, and they say it's gonna, if it's like Australia, it might be a milder flu season. We don't know. And by the way, if you live down in Florida here, okay,
would you like to count them? Six tropical systems in the Atlantic right now. Six of them. And my buddy Matt DeVitt, who's on the Wink News channel down here, and he said to me, "Whatever, this one's going up north. This one's going up north. This is the one I might be concerned about." Do you know this is the anniversary of Irma 3 years ago today?
Irma.
We were getting hammered by Irma, and we have better connectivity during Irma than we do today. We're going to take a break.
Thank you.
Are we able to return with Nikki Diamond today, or
we
should
are.
We postpone
that? Let's try it.
There's nothing better on a connectivity day like this than to add a screen. You will see Nikki Diamond shortly right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be Mike O'Mara. To me, being Mike O'Mara was better than being President of the United States. He's not just a clown to amuse you. He's the capo de capi. He does accents, impressions, and he can even talk up records. His two trusted associates, Rob and Oscar, they're untouchable. And they're pretty good earners, too. Tune in to the live Mike O'Mara Show broadcast every weekday on Facebook Live, or download it and listen on your own terms. Support these good fellas. Go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and buy the bonus show, or I'm going to have to send Polly Christine after you. Arrivederci.
Can you ever just put him on when it's time to get him on so I don't have to look at that? Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone. If your mortgage is 3.25% or look at the Holy Bible. I'm having trouble right now concentrating. If your mortgage is 3.25% or higher, you need to call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, and you need to do it today. Right now, 90% of homeowners have rates higher than the average going interest rate. We love Cornerstone. You will, too. Rates are so low, they've actually become a disruptor. They're disrupting the industry. Cornerstone's low rate guarantee and the fact that they're both a lender and a broker allows them to have the flexibility to approve loans that the big banks can't. Interest rates on the 30-year fixed have fallen into the twos for the first time ever. You need to call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial and do it now. 202-625-1221. 202-625-1221. Or online at cornerstonefirst.com.
Right there.
Think of this. At this level, you'll likely never need to refinance again. So whether it's a purchase or refi, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it's time to bring the prognosticator of Perumphon. I am so pleased to have Nikki Diamond on the show today with the Holy Bible in back from his apartment in Perumph, Nevada. It's great to see you, Nick. How are you, my friend?
Oh, fellas, it's so great to be back with you on Christmas Day, the start of the NFL season. And hey, this is This has been a trying year for a lot of
people.
Yes,
it has.
It has been a rough year. But not for this guy. This has been the best year of my life, baby. Oh, man.
Really, Nikki?
So much money on unemployment. I'm killing it out there.
Nikki, I've never heard you.
Birds, Nikki Diamond earned. When it rains, it doesn't pour, Mike.
When the world burns, Nikki Diamond earns. That Nikki, I've never seen you this upbeat, and we have you on Zoom.
You
this
look
is
great.
So wonderful. So you've been able to buy a computer, or did you borrow it, or something? Maybe I don't want to know about.
Well, I'm staying at my friend Ernie, who's doesn't need his place right now. It's a retirement community, Desert Green. So I'm staying there. lovely retirement community. Hey, it's packed with fun things to do, Mike. Like, I don't know, barbecues and movie nights, golfing, swimming, and cooking at Desert Greens. We're truly all part of
Desert Greens. It's called Desert Greens.
Desert Greens.
Yes,
you're coming to us from Desert Greens Retirement Community.
Yes, lovely. That's all nice people.
Where is the owner? Where is the owner, Nikki? Is he in residence, or are you? Do you have the place to yourself?
Ernie, he went to the hospital a while back, and I'm sure he's doing fine. Anyway.
You check in on him ever? Or?
Oh yeah, every time I can. There, Spurlock. You know me. I'm always checking in.
You look good.
Bermuda boy, small favor from you.
Yes.
I hit up your partner, that Bernie fella with Podcast Village. Mm-hmm. I tried to solve this with him. Bit of a stickler for the rules, that Bernie guy. Yeah, I don't want to spend a weekend with that Bernie. But anyway, I may have listed a consulting job with Podcast Village on an unemployment thing here in Nevada. I may have said,
Nikki,
make $2,600 a week consulting. If you could just sign just a quick signature, just a okay.
I'll look out for that form.
Boy, and we are. Good
when
go,
the world burns, Nikki Diamond earns, ladies and gentlemen. Right. All right, Nikki, it's the NFL. We're starting. It's tonight. The big weekend is here, and I know you are chomping at the bit to get to your picks because this is important stuff. I am starting anew. I'm going to keep track of the ones that I really want to write down and send to my bookie. I'm ready. Yeah. Let's go, Nikki. Take it away.
Well, let's start with tonight's little bonus pick for you. You got to play the season opener. It's the Chiefs. They've got 20 of 22 starters back. The Texans lost their best receiver. No crowd or a packed house. It doesn't matter. Kansas City comes out swinging. They cover the 9.5. They win going away 35-20 Chiefs tonight. Now, let's start with this Sunday. We've got the Merle. You know why it's the Merle? Because it's
why?
A sure thing, baby. Merle Rogers, miss you, boo.
I like the laugh, too. Right? See, that's busy when you go, ha, ha. You got a real Belushi in the restaurant vibe there, Nikki. That's fantastic.
That's right, Mike. I know you. He's one of your favorites. Good people. Rest I've gone too soon. The Bucks going to New Orleans. That used to be a tough gig. You go to New Orleans, you go on Bourbon Street, you're hungover, there's a packed house. Not anymore, baby. There's no home field advantage. Tampa with Tom Brady goes into New Orleans. They cover the 3.5. They win outright. How about your diamond pick of the week?
This is exciting. Very exciting.
This is the daily fantasy guy you want to play. The L.A. Chargers going down to Cincinnati. Cincinnati, new offense, but same crappy defense. Austin Ekeler, running back, catches the ball, runs the ball, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's your fantasy pick of the week. And now I have a brand new segment. By the way, shout out to Pony Bennett. I don't know if I've seen him there. Brand new segment. Here, that's Nikki Diamond. Nikki Diamond mask coming soon. You cover your face, we cover the spread. Anyway, yes, it's called, in honor of my favorite artist, Cardi B, it's the WAP. The winning ass pick. Winning ass pick every Sunday
winning,
night.
Hold on, let me double check this. Winning whack. Ass pick. Winning
yes,
ass
yes.
pick is what
the
this
whack.
Is.
Yes,
it's the whack. Whack. The whap.
Whap.
The whap.
Whap.
Winning ass pick.
Yeah.
It will be the Cowboys at the new stadium in L.A. The Rams. No worries. The Cowboys roll. It's a winning ass pick. Let's hit it, Cardi B!
That's fantastic. Hey, where's the light 'em up? Where's the light 'em up?
Hey, man.
No. Come on.
There he goes. Oh. Oh, baby. Oh, he's a energized. New Nikki. New Nikki. I like that. With the glasses.
I think he likes the lifestyle at Desert Green.
The WAP. Oh, my God. That was the white ass pet. What is it?
Winning ass WAP.
Winning ass.
All the kids know about the WAP.
Yeah, I got to get that. He needs a new music cue, Oscar. I'm on it.
Oh, my God. Said, were we able to see Nikki there?
He was great, Mike. He was great. He was great.
Dick on this end. I'm trying. Anyway, we will take a short break and come back with the news you may not need. That was spectacular, Nikki. Great to see his face in his friend's, his dying friend's apartment. We'll take a break. Come right back on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Hello, friends. Jeff Goldblum here. How are you? Yeah, you're great. I know you are. You're looking at me like that. Listen, I love to listen to the Mike O'Mara Show on my Alexa, but I'm scared of it. Yeah, I'm scared. It makes me nervous. It's like it's watching me.
Rob, turn your volume up a little bit.
If you're not as scared as I am.
Yeah, that iPad is super low. You got to send the send to us.
Tell Alexa to play the Mike O'Mara Show, and Bob's your uncle. Still terrified.
Nothing's
changed.
Jeff
Goldblum checking out. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Did you want to play a promo, Rob, or have we played it already?
We did. Checking? We played Jeff Goldblum.
This portion of the program brought to you by Our Crowd. Do you wish you were in early on some of the best performing IPOs of 2019 and 2020? Our Crowd investors were, and now you can join them. Our Crowd investors were. And now you can join them in what's next. With Our Crowd, accredited investors have access to invest directly, easily, and most importantly, early.
Early.
Haven't you always wanted to get in on that stuff if you're an investor?
Sure.
Our Crowd investors have benefited from Our Crowd companies like IPOing Beyond Meat or being bought by companies like Intel, Nike, Microsoft, and Oracle. Today, you can join Our Crowd's investment in Texie, a software startup that helps technicians and customer service teams see what the customer sees without ever stepping inside their home or office. It's safe, it's easy, and already revolutionizing how companies like Vodafone, Verizon, and Samsung support their customers. Oscar is all in. You can get in early on Texie and other unique opportunities at OurCrowd.com/TMOS. If you're interested in investing, you need to join Our Crowd. The Our Crowd account is free. Just go to OurCrowd.com/TMOS and do it today. We are delighted to have Our Crowd as a participant in the Mike O'Mara Show.
News!
Well, this is funny. I tell you, Ryan Reynolds rarely makes any missteps at all, and he's done another good one here. Rick Moranis stepped away from Hollywood in the early 90s to raise his kids after his wife died of breast cancer, and he's basically been MIA ever since. But he's been lured out of retirement to do a commercial with Ryan Reynolds for Mint Mobile. Ryan said in a statement, quote, "Like many Canadians and humans, I adore and worship Rick Moranis, from Strange Brew to Ghostbusters to Spaceballs to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Everyone on set was completely starstruck, most of all me." Do you have that by any chance?
I do, as a matter of fact.
The Rick Moranis spot? I thought you might.
I am such a fan of Rick Moranis that I found this not only surprising, but charming. It's just so understated.
Yeah, it is. It's a great ad where he is fanboying all over him, but this is funny. Listen, this is all it is. This is the commercial for his telecompany, Mint. Listen to this.
It's hard to believe that Mint Mobile has gone so long without an unlimited plan. So to introduce it, we brought in an actor we've all gone too long without. Rick Moranis.
So what do you want me to do? You want me to say something about Mint?
No, that would have been smart. But no, it's $30, it's unlimited. It'll do just fine.
Sounds good. I really got to get a phone. So why am I here?
I'm just a huge fan.
Oh, stop it. Come on,
no,
stop it.
Seriously, massive.
That's it?
Tiff.
See ya.
He walks off the camera. Yeah. I like that.
It's quiet at the end. Ryan Reynolds goes, "Bye, Rick Moranis."
Bye, Rick Moranis.
Love you.
The website ranker.com. Ready for some meanness? Here's some ranker.com. No.
Bring it.
Mean little. Well, it's ranking things, so it's mean, usually. They asked its users to name the celebrities they don't care about anymore. Would you like the top 10?
Yes.
And I welcome dialogue here. Agree to disagree. I disagree on many of them. Jamie Lee Curtis. That's number 10. Number 10. Any dispute on that one? No, I guess not. No one. Number 9, Jennifer Aniston. I care. I'm watching the morning show right now. I care very much about Jennifer Aniston.
I still care desperately about her, yes.
And here's another one. Number 8, Denzel Washington. I'll still see a movie with Denzel.
I don't know if he's ever made a bad movie. I care about him.
I don't think so. Number 7, Will Smith. I think Will Smith's still a big hit. No? No, not Will Smith. Oscar?
Will Smith is a 10 out of 10. Prince. What are you talking about?
Well, here's perfect on the list. Number 6 is Meg Ryan. Yep. Thank you. Thank you very much for that one. Number 5, I'm sorry, Adam Sandler. I'm not the fan of his movies, but I swear to God, he should not be on this list at number 5.
I agree.
And number 3, John Travolta. Very nice ranker. Good to kick him when he's down. You know, after he loses his wife, you humps. You know, I'm sorry. John Travolta is still John Travolta. Now, here's a guy on the list that should be on the list. Cuba Gooding Jr. Thank
Cuba
you.
Who?
Yes. Cuba. Cuba who? And coming in, bring that timpani out again we use for Nikki. There it is. Number 1 on the list, ladies and gentlemen, is Nicolas Cage.
My hand!
How is he even relevant anymore? Jesus Christ.
That's why he's on the list of not being relevant. There you go.
Just so sad. I think he is so irrelevant, I somehow care a little more. I want him to make a comeback.
Thank you. Justin Timberlake is from Memphis, Tennessee, and in 2012, he became a minority owner of the NBA's Memphis Grizzlies. And now, he wants to bring a Major League Baseball team to Tennessee. He's joined by a group that's trying to bring a team to Nashville. They're planning to call the team the Nashville Stars, and they're hoping to have it in place by 2024. But that's a long shot. MLB has 30 teams. There aren't many plans to expand, and there aren't any teams currently looking to relocate. And even if there was an opportunity, there are still a lot of financial hurdles. So
you know what he could
do?
He could bring the team to Memphis, and the broadcast guy could be Joe Theismann.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a baseball team, though.
He can do it all.
Yeah, remember he did college basketball.
Yeah.
What's fascinating, and maybe you guys know a little bit more about this.
Oh, that's right, because Joe's in Tennessee.
How does one guy that knows one sport, then they make them do all the sports. Like, whether it's boxing or anything, it's just like, you just got to go talk about the sport.
Most play-by-play guys. And remember, Joe's, we keep giving him credit for being the play-by-play. No, he's the color analyst here, but most play-by-play guys can do multiple sports. It's a skill. Yeah. They can do hockey, they can do basketball, they can do baseball. And then you get really super specialists like Doc Emmerich, the get that I've always wanted that I'll never get to get on the show. And he does a lot of different sports, but he's known primarily for hockey.
Wow.
So, if I'm not mistaken, I think Joe had offers to play pro baseball and pro football coming out of college.
Yeah, I think he did. Absolutely. Earlier this week, one of the founders of Jelly Belly on this show, we had this story. He announced he's holding a Willy Wonka-style contest where people can find golden tickets to try to win one of his candy factories. Mm-hmm. Well, Jelly Belly just put out an important message.
What?
While David Klein founded their company, he sold his stake 40 years ago and owns a different candy company called Spectrum. Spectrum Confections.
It was 1980 when I sold it.
You can tell Jelly Belly is not super pumped about the confusion with the contest, with how they phrase their message. Quote, "Due to confusion in the marketplace, Jelly Belly Candy Company would like to take this opportunity to clear up the misconception that it is involved in any way in a contest that purportedly offers a candy factory as its grand prize."
Wow.
They're distancing themselves. They also downplayed Klein's role in founding the company. They say he was, quote, "an independent third party when he came up with the name Jelly Belly and other marketing ideas in 1976. So, if you win this contest, you won't be taking over Jelly Belly's empire. You get one of Klein's factories, most likely in Florida."
Mike?
Yeah.
Spectrum
sounds like it's also a cable provider.
They are. Let me add this. The Team Wants Fan Club. Look, if anybody's going to win a candy company, they're all about it. They had a full thread on how there are holes like Swiss cheese within this contest, as you just mentioned. But the idea that we took a deep dive as a family is remarkable.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's frustrating that it's not really tied more to Jelly Belly.
Yeah.
And by the way, This is kind of like when you assume a factory, I would assume that you would assume some costs associated with that
factory.
Hell
yeah.
Of course.
And if you didn't have a knowledge of factory operations, perhaps this is a convenient way for an individual to unload perhaps a less than favorable situation onto a unsuspecting rube.
A tax incentive?
Maybe. Maybe. Perhaps. It's not like Charlie.
No. Hello, Mr. Klein. This is your accountant. I have an idea. What if we dump the Spectrum factory and take the loss? And then
just
Klein says, even better, let's sell $50 tickets before we give it away.
I'm giving the factory. I'm giving it to you, Charlie. I'm giving it to you. Oh, you're a fraud. You're a fraud, Klein. You're a fraud.
Klein!
One in seven Americans. One in seven. Think about that statistic. That's okay. Pretty amazing. One in seven Americans plan to gamble on the NFL this year. And the top teams that gamblers expect to win the Super Bowl are the Chiefs, shocker, the Cowboys, always in there, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Patriots, the Saints, the 49ers, and, are you ready for this? The New York Giants.
Ooh.
No, I'm lying.
I was going to say, what's the matter with you?
Nobody's picking the Giants. Nobody's picking the Giants.
I must have missed something.
Yeah.
It's a drag. It's a drag being a Giants fan. It always has been. Not always. 86, we had a big one. Anyway, now a little something, something. The Florida Sheriff's deputy, he responded to a home on a report of an alligator in a storage shed. Well, he discovered that the apparent reptile actually was something else. The Polk County Sheriff's Office said in a Twitter post from their funny Twitter department that Deputy Mark Texler responded to a home on a report of an alligator in a storage shed. The Sheriff's Office reported that the woman who called 911
said her husband had spotted the gator while moving some boxes.
Yeah. Deputy Trexler, this is the tweet. Deputy Trexler went to a call about an alligator in a storage shed, the tweet said. He came, he saw, he conquered the beast. He even knocked the wind out of it. Literally. The gator turned out to be a pool floaty. There it was.
There's an alligator in there. Yes, Siri, go out and get him.
And since this is Florida, I should also point out that the gator wasn't wearing a mask.
Oh, there we are. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. A little no-mask joke. Yeah.
Come on into Publix, kids. Get your subs. Stand there with everybody in a line, 3 feet behind them, breathing your COVID virus all over them, you pricks. We'll take a break. Come back with a nice, fat audio vault right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back, everybody. Come on, pony. God damn it.
That's right there, boy.
Hold it. You mean that 2020 is going to be bad for pony?
I think it's a great idea. I'm sorry.
The f***ing Mike O'Mara Show.
You know what? It was a cluster and nobody's happy.
So it was like the pony pyramid?
And ladies, pony is single.
That's right.
If you have a technical issue regarding the podcast or your bonus show account, he is the droid you're looking for. Just email ponyboy at mikeomarashow.com.
It's pony time. Get up!
Wow, a lot of sounds there.
That's exciting.
Oh, I just dumped it. Rob sends it to me and I dump it. I hate my soundboard. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Look, we've had a great show with Nikki Diamond and Joe Theismann. Technically, this has been a bit of a challenge for me today. Let's move on. Welcome back to the show brought to you by Ring. That's right. And your thing didn't print out right today. Anyway, there are 1,000 reasons why protecting your home is important. For me, it's my family and my overall peace of mind. I don't want to be worrying about solicitors, trespassers, burglars, and the worst, squatters. Yeah, hate those squatters.
Oh, you know, they set up a tent in your yard? It's horrible.
Ring has security products for every corner of your home, and best of all, you can see it all in one simple app. No matter where you are, right from your phone, if someone stops by or something's going on, Ring lets you know. See and speak to whoever is at your door from anywhere with your video doorbell. Keep an eye on everything with easy-to-install door and outdoor cams, indoor and outdoor. Protect your whole home with a Ring alarm and affordable whole home security system you can easily install yourself. Get a special offer on the Ring Welcome Kit when you go to ring.com/TMOS. The Welcome Kit has the Ring Video Doorbell and three The Ring Video Doorbell 3 and Chime Pro. It's the perfect way to start your Ring experience. Plus, free 2-day shipping. Go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS. Let's do another 4 minutes of this commercial. That might be a really good idea. Let's go ahead and do that. ring.com/TMOS. Jesus Christ.
Let's not derail on our sponsors.
I'm not going to derail on the sponsors, no. Can we possibly do some of the things I request on this show?
On us
like
is fine.
Like shorter gape. There. The roid rage kicked in. Things I tell you to do for 10 years. Do them.
Got it.
I feel like the roid rage was on throughout the show. You probably just didn't realize.
No,
that.
Not when I was talking to Joe. I was happy as a pig in when I was talking to Joe. Even though I didn't get an email about the thing. All right, let's do the thing with the thing. All right, very good. But I hung out. I hung out with the weakness.
Mike. Do you need to
spend the whole audio? Hold on, interrupter. And when Oscar says Mike and then you interrupt, it breaks the flow of things. I'm just starting to have a meltdown on the show today.
It's the finish line.
Okay.
What you need, Mike, is a quarantine to perk you up.
Oh, good. Let me get the explosion ready.
Because
I
know that
you... Thank you for letting me do that. I really had to. I really had to. I'm having some... It's hard for me to see today, and everything's going kind of...
I know that in the past, you've had run-ins with the great Tony Orlando. What a lovely man. And I think it's nice that they're keeping his music alive. However, my tip to the quarantiners, don't try too hard.
Okay.
If you have to make it work, it's probably not a good idea.
So stick another cotton swab in my nasal cavity.
Don't you agree?
And
don't
choosing
try too hard.
Choosing that song is just old, right?
Yeah, it's not great.
I'm old. I should appreciate it. I don't appreciate that. It's too old. Come on, please.
All right. Here's a thing that's old that you'll love for a Throwback Thursday. I want to give you a lively lift. This is a Coke commercial, Coca-Cola from 1961, and the whole notion of it is so fraught with lies, I can't believe they aired it. This is from 1961. It's a lady.
Well, that's enough for today. Now for a lively lift. Ice-cold Coca-Cola. There's no waistline worry with Coke, you know. Actually, this individual-sized bottle has no more calories than half a grapefruit. Mmm. Another thing, the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds. Coke's a natural, wholesome blending of pure food flavors. I guess that's why everyone likes the refreshing new feeling you get, only from not-too-sweet Coca-Cola.
Hold on.
Lively, lifty Coca-Cola.
Yes. Okay, so they're actually selling, drinking a glass of sugar?
Yes.
Something that won't hurt your waistline.
It has less calories than half a grapefruit, and Mike, it has natural food flavors.
All right, does somebody ever vet that as far as...
Now, remember smoking used to be promoted to us in a way that was like, oh, you look cool, relax.
Yeah, I think it was Camel that said more doctors recommend Camel cigarettes than any other
cigarette.
They did
that. I am very curious. Even with that, I'm very curious as to whether a Coca-Cola, a 12-ounce can of Coca-Cola would be the same calories as, and I don't think it's ridiculous calories for a regular Coke. What's it like, 280 calories or something?
I think
for
that's about like that, yeah.
Like
I'm checking
it's 240. 240 or 280. One or the other.
240 or 280,
yeah.
Would it really matter? Would that be a half a grapefruit? Would that be 240 sugar?
Yeah, but also the thing is that a grapefruit is a different sugar. It is an all-natural sugar. And also, you know what? Calories are different if they're derived from
that's right.
fiber.
And it's important to understand that on YouTube, there aren't videos of grapefruits being put on dirty batteries.
And then
being clean within a 3-minute time lapse to be like, oh, look at that. I cleaned my battery.
140 calories in a 12-ounce Coke.
That's
and
it.
Also, and you know what? In that old commercial, it was the little bottle too. It wasn't the 12-ounce can. It was probably the 8-ounce.
You know what's interesting? As a regular Diet Coke consumer,
yes,
it's pretty funny when you hear the order. I'm watching. I didn't even promote it on the show. I should talk about it on tomorrow's show. I really, really should. There's an Amazon movie, I think it's Curiosity Stream, that's called The King of the Cruise.
Okay.
And he has one particular lunch order that is such a fat guy's lunch order. It's so real. And then, of course, it's a Diet Coke at the end.
Yes, of course. Because it makes
you, that's where the marketing is so brilliant. They've made you think that with zero calories at the end, your little beverage, that you can eat whatever you want. But technically, if you were eating totally healthy, probably the regular Coke wouldn't hurt you that much.
I did a little experiment here because my wife convinced me that the fake sugar in Diet Coke about a month ago wasn't healthy for me and it was making me hungry later on. I'm sure the scientific fact behind it.
My wife says the exact same thing.
A lot of people say that,
I said, F it. I'm going to drink regular Cokes, but I'll tear back on the consumption of the sodas to I guess just even out the calories. I am the fattest I've ever been.
I think that the peer's the problem. If you're drinking a soft drink, if that's the type of drink you're consuming, it's tough to scale down on that. So if you're going to drink a lot, and I love a great Diet Coke. I love Diet Coke. I'm drinking water now in my fabulous Yeti cooler.
Nice.
But with ice. The ice has stayed the same. I've run out of fluid after reading those commercials.
The ice is still there, though.
Yes. The ice is still. Look. Here's the ice.
Oh, yummy.
Do you prefer
Diet Coke?
That's from
the first thing this morning. Huh?
Do you prefer a Diet Coke in a bottle, in a can, or over ice? I think that Diet Coke benefits from being over ice more than any other beverage.
I like it over ice, but I like it in a can.
And do you save that ice for other beverages, or do you wastefully throw it away because you have an ice situation?
If I'm drinking water, that's a good idea. Maybe I will conserve and I'll pour another beverage because there's just water in there.
I have so much ice.
I'm jealous.
Don't brag.
But I've got the solution. More coming up. Okay. I think I have a solution.
Great. Oh,
good. Might try that today. It's Handyman Day.
Oh, I love Handyman Day. Yeah, Mike, are you excited about the upcoming Drew Barrymore talk show? Because it has a feature called, and they promoted this, Drew's News.
Okay. Very good.
Come on.
She was a good actress.
She's fine.
She didn't need to do this.
No,
other
don't go
do
slumming.
She's doing a lot of media
Green.
Oh, yeah. That was an unfortunate thing, wasn't it?
Really.
Put that in Drew's News. Anyway, she's doing a lot of media to promote her upcoming show, which I think premieres in a week and a half. She's never going to marry again.
Never, never, never. I will never get married again. And I also believe people should not say the word never, and I will never, with a capital N-E-V-E-R, never get married. It's like I have two options.
You know what? When I hear that, I imagine her sitting in a room by herself with no audience, just talking, and I think that's the feeling that the talk show is going to have. Never.
I'm not getting offered any roles. Ever.
You see,
never.
This is what happens when you bang Tom Green. You're ruined.
Yeah, that's true. Tom Green, who, perfectly adequate guest
on a radio
program.
Yeah.
Very nice man. But really, that was a flame, too.
I would have clung to those fallopian tubes as long as I could have.
Those fallopian tubes.
Fallopian. Like plutonium.
Take it away, Rob.
I've always been a toddler at heart, and why I love this so much, it's a silent library. I don't know if this is a really current tape, because no one seems to be social distancing, but it's one of those long balloons, like you would make into an animal, like a balloon animal balloon. And it's just a silent library, and a kid smiles at the camera and releases the balloon in a silent library. That shouldn't make me laugh.
Can I get that one again, please?
Yes, of course.
I like it. I don't like it as much as your surprise scream yesterday.
Also great. Oh, Mike, I sold this wrong. This is actually Drew Barrymore reading Drew's News. And that is your
Drew's
magic
news.
Audio.
Hey, okay.
He didn't see it coming.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Our thanks to Nikki Diamond and the great Joe Theismann, a real 100% legend. Joe's book is How to Be a Champion, and you can get that on Amazon. Thank you, Joe Theismann. Too long. I hope we get together sooner than that next time. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmeraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
What's the matter with you people? I was joking! Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
Hey!
Well, I don't get the rain, man.
The best is yet to come.